This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gil Dierman and Lakeshore Christian Fellowship in TKK, South Carolina. For more information, visit us online at lakeshorecf.com.
Two of them are really close. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5. We're going to grab one really important scripture there. Then we're going to go over and look at Proverbs chapter 4. So we're back in the Old Testament, but we're coming right back to Romans chapter 4. So once you find the book of Romans, don't lose that. We're going to be back. And so we're in the fifth week of a series that we've entitled Choices. And in case you missed some of them, or maybe you're just popping in here, we're focusing on the fact that although the Bible is consistent, the Bible is clear, never wavers, that God has a very wonderful and a very unique plan for every person on the earth. He communicates that through these great and precious promises, Peter tells us. But here's what we need to understand. It's not automatic. It's not, well, God's sovereign, so if he wants me to be blessed and have a great life, then okay. And if I don't have that, it must be because God doesn't want. And so we've gone through and we've challenged that and we've proven that's just not true in the Bible. But here's what is true, and the Bible's also consistent and clear. If you want to experience God's plan, and he really wants you to, then we have to choose to discover, we have to choose to accept, and we have to choose to begin to engage the Word of God. Not just religious Bible reading, not just inspiration, but what does it really say? What's the truth that's trying to get across to us, and how does it change our life when we come to this reality and we begin living in it? So we've been looking at Romans chapter 5, verse 17, carrying that with us as this capsule of truth, renewing our mind to catch something here so that it lands as a reality, not just as a, oh, that's an interesting thought. But this is a Bible truth, a Bible reality. And here's what it says, Romans 5, 17, "For if by the one man's offense..." And we clearly define, that's Adam. "Death reigned through that one man." So Adam was in paradise and he made a really bad choice and that kind of messed it up by introducing sin. And this whole thing's gotten twisted and off course from that point. But it says, if you can understand that, how much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. And in case you missed some of these, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, it's not those who are already blessed, that's why they're blessed. It's if you got saved, this is what you got by inheritance just by being God's kid. This is what it means to be a part of his family and you carry his family name or his spiritual lineage. And if you begin to receive that, to understand it, to say, wow, I can see that's who the Bible says I am, and you begin to learn to step into that and exercise these rights, then the Bible says everything changes, and you begin to make the choices. You decide how your life's going to go. You decide what level of joy and blessing and harmony and financial prosperity and all. You decide all of that. The world doesn't get to decide it. Circumstances don't get to decide it. You get to be the one to make the calls. This is a supernatural thing, but it's a reality. This is how the world's working right now. Has been ever since the Bible recorded, ever since Jesus died and rose again. This is set in motion, and this is how it's been working. I hope you're getting something out of this series. Listen, if you missed any of them, I've said it almost every message. This is not something you're going to get on the first time. You got to go back and listen. You got to open your Bible. You got to lean in, because I promise you, you can have been a Christian all your life and this is counterintuitive to what you've just kind of grown or evolved into. But I can also promise you, and you're welcome to challenge me, this is the scripture. This is the Word of God. This is what the disciples, the apostles were talking about. This is the disparity when we see, man, it was just crazy awesome in the book of Acts, and here it's good. Well, there's the gap. There's the difference, is us understanding this is what it means. So today, we're going to kind of keep going. We're going to look at another part of this. This is a really crucial part, too. And we're going to focus on, what does that really mean to choose to reign? What does that really mean to choose to be able to choose? To choose to be able to make your own decisions and to chart your course and not just be satisfied with whatever comes down the pipe, whatever circumstances bring you. And so the first thing we're going to do is go back to Proverbs. We've been there for a couple of weeks. We're going to look at another extension of the scripture that's in this one big block and see what the Bible's spelling out to us. And we're going to see some key truths there. But here's what I want to get across to you today before you leave. I want you to see that choosing to reign means choosing to do three things. And these are deeply spiritual things, but they're also incredibly practical. They're not super complex. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a theologian. Everybody can walk out and say, I totally get it. I can see exactly how to do that. And by choosing these three, you set up a combination that begins to unfold and that begins to build in you the confidence and actually extend you the ability to choose to reign in your life. And so you can't miss this. Now, we're going to see that. It won't take us very long to see it in Proverbs 4. Then ask you to go back to Romans chapter 4 because we're going to watch how it unfolded in the life of Abraham because the New Testament tells us the same thing over and over and over again. All right, so we're in Proverbs chapter 4 now. I'm just going to read what we've already studied pretty extensively. I'm not going to lean down in and teach it. I'll highlight a couple of things because you need to take them with you as we see this other part. But this is one of those life-changing messages, so pay attention, okay? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son or daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of, notice this is important, your heart. Not just your head. We can be intellectual about the Bible. We can say, yeah, I know what the Bible says. Yeah, I believe the Bible. But it's all just here. It's in our mental acknowledgement that, yep, that's it right there in black and white. That is the scriptures. It's not a belief in our heart. It's not something that our heart is wrapped around and said, that is a truth. I don't care if my head's arguing with me. I don't care if the evidence says something different. That's a truth that I've adopted into my life, and I won't back off of it. I won't let it go. And so this is important that we recognize that. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22 goes on, for or because they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, that's the instruction. Then he assumes that you get it and you're going to start pursuing this because then he's saying, now, once you find them, you've inclined, you've given attention, you won't let them get out of your sight, you're keeping them right there. And once you get them in your heart, he goes on to verse 23, now keep your heart with all diligence for or because out of it, out of your heart springs the issues of life, springs the issues. Here's what it could have said, the literal translation, whatever happens inside, that's the fountainhead of everything that comes else outside your life. If you read success books and in any area of life, they're going to tell you, like, we'll just pick finances, okay? It's an easy one. So when it comes to finances, you have to be prosperity-minded inside before it ever happens outside. You can be working hard, making tons of money, but if you've got a poverty mentality inside, you're going to blow through that money. You won't have a thing in the world to do about it. You'll get it, but you can't keep it. But if you can get a mentality inside, one that builds increase, one that understands the principles and how this thing works, then it doesn't matter how dire your outside circumstances are, you can discover and you can begin to build increase in your life. Even the world knows that. But the Bible's saying everything springs out of the issues, the fountainheads of your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all that other stuff. It just flows. It comes. But the kingdom of God has to come first. All right, now, so we've talked a lot about the importance of choosing God's word, of what it means to lean in. We've talked that believing is not a feeling. Boy, that's such a pitfall for so many Christians. It's not a feeling. Listen, your feelings have nothing to do with your faith. Nothing. Sometimes you feel confidence in God's word, and that's great when they sync up. But even when you're feeling completely contrary, God's word still says the same. You can choose to believe, even though everything in the rest of your five physical senses are screaming the opposite. Feelings have absolutely nothing to do with faith. You need to understand that. Doesn't matter how you feel. You can be strong in the Lord. You can be confident in God, even if you feel weak and you feel, you know, sketchy and you feel insecure. It doesn't matter. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. They're not there to measure spiritual things. They're there to measure natural circumstances, natural emotions, not spiritual things. We also realize, and I've mentioned it already, so I won't elaborate, we've also mentioned that when we're talking about believing or faith, it's not just mentally acknowledging. So many Christians say, yeah, it's in the Bible. I get that. And they're mentally acknowledging here, but they're not experiencing any transformation down here because it's not in the heart. It just makes sense to their brain. But you have to recognize and be able to pull that down on your heart. And so we've recognized it's making a choice to acknowledge that's what God said. He's telling the truth. He's smarter than I am. I'm going to go with what he said, and I'll let everything else in my life begin to line up to what God said. I'll just keep coming back to that. And so we're going to work through that this morning. We're going to build on that base, all right? So now we're back at Proverbs chapter 4 again. And again, it already said, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, don't let them out of your sight, but do everything you can, pull them in down into your heart, down into your heart. So three things, three choices you have to make that all sum up to choosing terrain. Here's choice number one. Choosing terrain means choosing to believe God's word with your whole heart. Now this is important, not with your head, with your heart. You can make decisions of the heart that your head still hasn't unraveled yet. That's why we looked last week and it says, get wisdom, and while you're getting, go ahead and get understanding. Sometimes you know what to do, that's wisdom, and you have no idea why to do it. You can't see how is this going to help that, but the Bible says, the wisdom of God says, no, do this. And you can know what to do, and you can believe that with your heart, and your head says, I have no idea how this, all these dots are going to connect. Until you get a little farther in, or maybe on the backside, and you're like, oh, that's why God was doing that. But it says it's really important that we choose to believe God with our whole heart, with our whole heart. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and don't lean to your head. Well, it says to your own understanding, but it means to your head. Go with your heart, not with your head. Does that make sense? Okay, so the first thing that choosing terrain means, this one's so important because if you don't get the first one, you can't build the other two on it. So this one, you first have to choose to believe God's word with your whole heart. Now we're going to stay in Proverbs 4 and we're going to keep going. We're picking up at verse 24. Listen to this. It says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Because of the English language and the way we use it, I've got to really kind of hone in on that just a little bit, okay? First of all, the phrase put away is what's called an imperative phrase in the Hebrew. And it means this: this is not a suggestion. This is a command. This could be said, if you want to see God's blessing, this is not an option. You have to put this away. And it most of the time is connected to something that is not going to be fun and it probably won't be easy. It's not something you're going to naturally say, I probably should do that. I think I want to do that. It's going to be something that either you'll overlook or something that I don't see how that even matters. What's the two got to do with each other? Or you just plain don't want to do it because you kind of like to do things your way. So the Bible will put these imperatives in there that says, now, this one's essential. This one's vital. If you don't do this one, you're going to mess some other stuff up. So the first thing it says here, now that you've got the word of God in your heart, now that you've chosen to believe it with all of your heart, it says, okay, the next thing you have to do is put away from you a deceitful mouth. The word deceitful there is not talking about tricking somebody. It's talking about distorting. So it's more about the deception, not about the act of deception. So it's talking about distorting, talking about twisting something, not saying something exactly like it was supposed to be said, but you're kind of spinning it a little bit because it suits you better for whatever you're communicating. And the word mouth there literally is talking about what comes out of the mouth, what comes out of the mouth. So remember, this passage is talking about the word of God. Attend to the word. Incline your ears to the sayings. Make sure they don't get outside of your purview, perspective. Keep them in front of you. Make sure you get them down in your heart. And it was still talking about the word of God. It says, now you've got them in your heart, keep them in your heart. Keep them in your heart because everything springs out of that. And then it says, the first thing, put away from you a distorted mouth. In other words, anything that you would say as a representative or as a repeating or a rehearsing of what God said, make sure you're saying what he said, not your version of what he said. Not someone else's version of what he said. Listen, there's a lot of interpretations of Scripture, and so much of them have been infused with our cultural view, when we can just go back to what the Bible says. Yeah, I get what you're saying, and that kind of makes sense in light of, you know, today's day and age and the contemporary culture, but that's not what the Bible says. Say what the Bible says. So it says, be really careful to not distort when you are rehearsing what the Bible says. It goes on and says, and put perverse lips far from you. Perverse is not talking about sexual things. It's talking again about this turning aside, about this departing, about this twist. You're going a different way. And the lips is not talking about just the words. It's talking about your whole manner of speech, the way you talk, the way you talk. So in other words, it's saying, once you've got the Word of God in your heart, you want to guard that because everything's flowing out of there. And as it's flowing out, don't twist it as it comes out. You say, yeah, but if I just says what the Bible says, sometimes like that looks impossible in my situations. Yeah, but that, and that's why it's saying it's imperative. Don't let it get twisted. You keep it as straight as it can be. That's what the Bible said. I don't know. I can't explain it. I didn't say it. God did, but he wrote it down. And I've chosen to go with what he said. So here's exactly what he said. And make sure that that's the way that you begin to speak, not just certain verses and certain words, but the way that your speech, that your the way you talk, the way it's characterized, should be characterized by you're pretty straightforward. You keep moving forward. Now again, he's still talking about the Word of God. Let me give you some other translations of this same verse. Another translation says, don't bend the truth or say things that you know are not right. You won't have to get very far into choosing to reign before you're going to have to make a choice to believe God's word, to say, well, this is what the Bible says, and that choice is going to be glaringly contrary to what you're currently experiencing. Sometimes you'll even feel weird about saying it out loud in front of yourself. And you'll be like, But you'll certainly feel strange when you're encountered and you have to say it in front of somebody else. And the Bible says, imperatively, don't let it get twisted. Don't do it. Another translation says, put false speaking away from you. Put bad talk far from you. Here's one more. Do away with any talk that twists or distorts the truth. Have nothing to do with any verbal trickery. Trying to just say that, just massage the scripture a little bit. You know, it's a little easier to hear, a little easier for people to agree with. You don't quite get so much pushback, even yourself. Now remember, this is not talking about regular life and business dealings and relationships. It certainly applies there. But specifically, this is talking about the Word of God. You're going to have to be really careful, really intentional, really disciplined to make sure that what comes out of your mouth when it comes to the Word of God is what the Bible says. That's not hard. You can literally read it off a page. But let the Bible say what the Bible says, and let that get in your heart and come back out of your mouth. Don't twist it to fit your context or to fit your level of comfortability. It says be really careful about that because it's so easy to do. So here's number two. Choosing to reign was choosing to believe God's word with all your heart. Here's choosing number two. Choosing to reign means choosing to speak God's word. Choosing to speak God's word. Let me give you a couple of other verses. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Let me just stop you. The only reason he could bring forth good is because it was in his heart. He took time to get it in his heart, but now that it's in his heart, now he's got to pull it back out. Picture someone dropping a bucket into a well, and he's got to pull that truth back out so that he can now distribute it and use it. And it says, so a good man out of the goodness of his heart brings forth or intentionally draws to the surface so that he can produce or he can use something. He says, good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For or because, and here's the principle, out of the abundance of the heart, not the head, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, when it says the evil man out of the evil, you know, in his heart, it's not talk. Don't think of some wicked, vile, immoral, dirty, filthy. You know, don't. That's true too, but it distinguishes good and evil. It's talking about distorting God's word. It's talking about putting other stuff in your heart that gets mixed up. And so when you're in a conversation, listen, you don't, if you just sit back and listen, you can learn a lot about a person just in conversation. You don't even have to ask them deep drilling questions. Just listen. Casual, fun, just surface level, talking about the weather, talking about the Panthers, talking about what's going on in the culture and in the community. You just listen to them and you can tell a lot about what's in their heart, because out of the abundance of their heart, they're speaking. And there are some people that have no idea they're supposed to put filters. Not just cultural filters. I'm not talking about socially, you know, social skills. I'm talking about spiritual filters. Yeah, I know that's happening, but that ain't coming out of my mouth. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to say the same terms that everybody's saying, because I've intentionally put bridles on my mouth to say what the Bible says about these things. Now, I won't quote scripture all the time, but it's got to come filtering through that, because out of the abundance of my heart, if I put good stuff in there, that's what's going to come out. And so it's a measurement. It's a measurement for yourself. Listen to what you're saying. Pay attention. And then go back and say, oh, that's why I've been watching way too much TV. I've been watching the news. I've been reading this. I've been studying this. And all those things might be okay, but I'm not having any time in the Word of God. How do I expect to be able to draw from this source of power and this source of authority? We've already studied in one couple of the other messages, Romans chapter 10, but let me just bring this back to you, and we'll just read it fresh in your hearing, because it's emphasizing the same thing. We could have started in verse number 6 that said, but the righteousness of faith speaks this way. So he's saying, when you're a person full of faith, this is what will come out of your mouth. This is the basis of how you talk. So we'll jump down into verse 8. He says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And we asked the question when we were teaching it, the word is near you. Where is it? Right there on your lap, right up on the screen behind me, right on the podcasts, right on your Bible app. I mean, it's as close as your fingertips. The word is right there. Now, whether it's in your heart and it gets out of your mouth, well, that's your decision. But it's right there in front of it. We have no excuse to say, well, I just don't know what the Bible says, especially not in the 21st century. It is everywhere. And so it says, it's right there in your mouth, right there in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if, everybody say if. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And man, did we drill down into that. Salvation's not just forgiveness of sin and going to heaven. It's being rescued, being set free in every area of your life to make the choices, make the decisions. And we said here, we pointed out, here's the two qualifications. First of all, you have to believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord. Not just over sin and eternity, everything. Everything. He gets the final say. And you have to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Not just that he came back to life, but that resurrection power was released and changed everything. Everything went from the control of the enemy, now has the option to be controlled by us Christians who are filled with the resurrection power of Jesus. And we know how to do that. And he goes on, he says, this is why it works this way, because with the heart one believes or chooses to believe unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made to salvation. All right? So choosing to reign means those two things. It means believing God with all of your heart first, and then it means choosing to speak God's word very intentionally. I'm going to respond the way God says to respond no matter what circumstance is going on. Now, we're going to look at that in just a minute, okay? Now, let me go back to Proverbs, and we're going to see one more thing, and then you're going to look at it in the life of Abraham. It'll just kind of unfold, just fall off the bone like the southern cooked ribs, just the way you like it, all right? Okay, so back to Proverbs chapter 4. So once you choose to believe God's word and you get it in your heart, and then you choose to speak God's word, here's the third one that we're going to see in Proverbs. Choosing to reign means choosing to stay with God's word until it brings results. Now, this is an important one, because we don't always connect these dots, all right? if the word of God is true, and we've decided and we've embraced it as true, what made it true? Is it true because it's working in your life and it must be true? Look how blessed I am. Or is it true because God said it? And see, we have to come to grips with that. Because if it's true because God said it, then it doesn't matter what happens after that. Things get worse, things get better, things stay the same. I don't care. God's word is still true. My experience doesn't make God's word true. What makes God's words true is God's not a liar. He's true. So once we choose to accept God's word as truth, we get it in our heart and we begin saying it, then we have to make a decision. This is what I'll be saying for the rest of my life, because God never changes his mind. I'll never change my mind. And then you get to prove that out as the circumstances of life rise up and down, up and down. When we say choosing to reign, that means sometimes you actually have to reign. You have to take control of a situation, bring it under subjection, pull God's power to bear and say, it's not going to stay this way because God promised me. You have to take charge. It doesn't mean you just kind of sit back on the throne and, you know, wear the crown. I'm the king in my life. And that doesn't mean that at all. It means that you have to recognize you own this authority, but your authority is based on God's authority. As long as you stay under his authority, this will work every single time. If you don't, then you're back to this subjective, who knows how it's going to turn out. We'll just have to wait and see. And so choosing to reign, number three, means choosing to stay with God's word until it brings results. Now, let's go back to Proverbs 4. You'll see it here, and then we're going to quickly go to Romans 5, and it won't take very long for you to see it there. Proverbs chapter 5, we're in verse 25 now. So once you put a bridle on your tongue, what we should say earlier, once you got it in your heart, then it says, okay, now be careful. Watch your mouth. Don't get twisted. Don't get distorted. You keep your mouth in line. And in verse 25, it says, then let your eyes look straight ahead. Other translations say, focus your eyes and keep looking forward. And your eyelids look right before you. In other words, don't even blink. Don't get distracted. Don't kind of, you know, shudder and glance around. It says, no, you keep focused, locked into what's in front of you. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. Other translations say, think about what you're doing, where you're going. Think about where this road that you're on is heading you. And consider, make sure it's the right way, and let all of your ways be established. The word established means properly, intentionally constructed. You're not just wandering down the road of life. Every step you're taking, you're calculating it. You're building it. You're making sure that you're walking straight. You're walking on the premise of God's word. This is what God said to do. I'm not talking about legalistic. I'm not talking about where it's so rigid that you just feel all tense. I'm talking about intentional. Being intentional. Don't be haphazard and just wandering through. Verse 27, we looked at last week. But we'll tie it back in here. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but remove your foot from evil. Again, remove your foot from evil is not just don't do bad stuff. It means anything that is on the other side of the equation, that the world, the system of the world, don't do it that way. We do it this way. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to the world system. But instead, be transformed from the inside out by the renewing or the realigning of your mind to what God's word says. And then you'll be able to see things start to progress the right way. Okay, so let me just quickly rehearse. Choosing to reign then means choosing to do these three things. It means to believe God's word with your whole heart, to speak God's word just the way God said it, and then to stay with God's word until it brings results. Now listen, that's not rocket science. Anybody, so simple. Anybody can do this. It'll take time to kind of develop a lifestyle of this, but anybody can put these three principles down and say, okay, that's what I have to do. Holy Spirit, help me, and this is what's going to change my life. And listen to me, you're biblical from cover to cover. That is absolutely the truth. In fact, you're going to look now with me to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to watch. We'll just read rather quickly, but we're going to watch how it unfolds in the life of Abraham. Listen, who was back in the Old Testament. like the guy who started all of this covenant with God thing. He was early on, but you're going to see that's what God taught him to do way back there. And then when he carried it into the New Testament and Jesus died and said, okay, the plan's officially changed. Now this is the way we do it all the time. But Abraham caught some things way back there that we're pushing and looking forward to here. And so it's consistent, these three things. All right, Romans chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse number 16. Paul's talking to the Roman Jew, to the Jews in Rome, and he's talking about how this New Testament approach is based on faith. It's based in our belief and our trust and our walking in God's ways, not in our earning salvation towards obedience. And he's trying to talk to these religious Jews who have now become Christians and help them to understand you have to make the change. And so he goes all the way back to someone they can identify with, to Abraham, their father. And he says, let me show you how Abraham did the same thing. You just didn't recognize it. And so that's the case he's making as we look at Romans chapter 4. So he begins, we're looking at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. So this is kind of one of the keys we've been looking at every message. If you want to choose, if you want to see God's blessings come in your life, it's not just a matter of waiting and kind of being a good little boy and a good little girl and hoping God decides to smile. It's a matter of you recognizing how to begin to live a life of faith. Because if you can live a life of faith, that's what opens the door to God's power to bring his grace. All the blessings you need, every promise you need, comes by you choosing to lean in faith. And when that happens, then click, the lock undoes, the gate opens, and here comes all of God's grace. That's the security system that God has. And you have the key. You own it. You can do this. And so here's what he says, it has to be, or it might, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, and this is why, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So he's talking about Abraham, to everybody who was birthed in that spiritual lineage of Abraham, God's covenant people. He said, I wanted to make sure this was fair, this was equitable, every one of God's kids could be able to get in on this. So he set it up in faith, so you don't have to be a rocket scientist, you don't have to be a theologian, you don't have to be super disciplined or super smart or super anything. You just have to believe that God's telling the truth. And all of his grace opens up to you. It's equally available to every believer. He says to his seed, he says, not only to those who are of the law, that's talking about the Old Testament Jewish believers who thought salvation or who worked salvation came through obedience, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So now it's New Testament believers. Has nothing to do with Jewish heritage. Has everything to do with your faith. Jews, Gentiles, doesn't matter what your background is. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you're of the lineage, the spiritual lineage of Abraham. And the Bible says that you get in on all of these promises. Now, he's going to say, this is how it unfolds, and this is where you're going to see the three things. Watch the three things that Abraham learned. He says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, that's God, whom he, that's Abraham, believed. So let me just untangle that for you. He says, it has to be of faith so that it can be by grace, because that's the way God set it up. That's the way God wrote it. When God said to Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations. Now let's stop. When God said that to Abraham, this is important. Abraham was 75 years old. He had no kids. He had no kids because his wife Sarah was barren. Her womb was closed. They tried to have kids. They tried to have babies. They wanted to, but they just couldn't. And God said, listen to what he said to Abraham, I have already made you a father of many nations. How can God say, I've already made you this when he has no kids and it's impossible for him to have kids? How can that be? And you're going to see in just a minute, but notice this, it says that when God said it, Abraham said, well, okay, if you say so. Abraham believed him. So God made this promise and he wrote it down just to make sure it would be established. Nobody could go back and say, did he really say that? No, look, we wrote it down. That's what he said right there. And when he wrote it down, Abraham chose to believe it. And at the time, it couldn't have been more impossible. And that's where you see number one, Abraham chose to believe God's word with his whole heart. Can you see that? This is not hard. He made a decision that was completely against every circumstance, every logic, everything known to medical, to science, and he just went completely against the grain and said, yeah, but God said, so I believe that. So let's go back, and we're still in verse 17. So again, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him, that's God, whom he, that's Abraham, believed. Notice this, God, who, and Abraham's going to say, I noticed two things about God as I was listening to him and learning. Two things about God. Number one, God gives life to the dead. And number two, God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So once Abraham believed the promise that God made, I've already made you a father of many nations. He looks around, he's like, that's not possible. But if you said it, I believe you. And he began to listen and he began to notice God does these, God speaks his own word. He keeps saying what he promised he would do. And he does it especially in two very important times. Very important times, and you and I need to see this. The first important time is whenever you're in a situation that you need to bring life to something that's dead. In other words, whatever's happening in your life, it's already there. It's happening, but it's not working like it's supposed to. It's not producing. It's not bringing, you know, increase. It's not bringing joy. It's not the fulfillment. It's just there. You're trapped in the grind. You're just going day after day after day. You know there's more. You wish you could figure it out. But this is just not working the way it's supposed to. And Abraham says, yeah, I noticed that when that happened, that God would speak life to things that were dead. Now, some of you that are sticklers for the word, I applaud that, but you might be thinking, well, that's not what it says. It says God gives life to the dead. He gives life to the dead. Yes, but let's pull into the New Testament. In John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are life. They are spiritual words and they're life. Not only that, we even have back in the Old Testament a number of places. One example is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Of the tongue. So God did give life, but the way God gave life was through his words. He spoke, he spoke, he spoke, he spoke. And so very important that we can see that. So let me give you an example how that might practically play out. Let me give you an example how it plays out in our family, okay? When flu season comes around, everybody starts talking about flu season. It's in the papers, it's in the news, it becomes, you know, the big headline, everybody's buzzing around, a lot more sanitizers going on, and there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But listen to me, sometimes we forget that in Isaiah 53, the Bible says that he carried our sickness away, and brought by his stripes we were healed. In case we missed it in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we are healed. So here's a thought, as Christians who are choosing to reign, when we see the buzz about flu seasons going around, instead of saying, oh, I hope we don't catch the flu, we get it every year, man. It just sweeps. So I just hope it just goes quick this time and it's not as hard as it was. Why don't we go back and say, you know, 1 Peter 2:24 says by his stripes we're healed. So the flu's going to go right around us this time. It's going around. But it's going to go right around our family because our family has received health and healing. We don't have to just open ourselves up and be subjective to the flu. We're just not going to do it. You say, Pastor, yeah, but what if you get the flu? What if it actually happens? Okay, I'll go there with you because we're growing in faith, right? So what if it still kind of sneaks in somehow? If that happens, then instead of just surrendering to, I knew it, we always get the flu. Why don't we stick with God's word and says, well, cough, cough, sneeze, sneeze, bad headache. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, I've already been healed. So in Jesus' name, this is not going to stay very long, and it's certainly not going to spread to the rest of my family. In the name of Jesus, I receive my healing. In fact, according to the word, I'm getting better by the minute. This thing's already on its way out. See, it doesn't cost us anything to keep our words lined up with God. That's exactly what the Bible says in Proverbs we just read. Be very intentional. Be imperative. Don't let your words get twisted just because some experience comes along and challenges that. Yeah, but God's word still said. I'm going to stay with God's word. All right? So Abraham learned that when circumstances adjust, God doesn't adjust. He speaks life to things that look like they're dead. He just keeps speaking life. He just keeps on saying the same thing, and he's pushing life into these situations that are not working right to get them to start working right. But he noticed something else about God. Not only that, but that God also speaks life to things that are dead. He calls things that do not exist as though they did. These are not areas that are broken or not functioning right. These are areas of your life that don't even exist. You don't know how they're going to exist. It's just not possible. It's completely out of the realm of reality for you to even think. You kind of just settled and said, no, this is just how it is. Just kind of get used to it, and let's just thank the Lord for what we do have. But he says, no, God doesn't do that. God sees areas that don't exist, but that he wants to exist, and God begins to speak as though they already existed. In fact, listen to Hebrews 11:2. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which are not visible. The planet we're living on was not visible at some point, but God began to call things into existence that didn't exist. You say, that's just crazy talk. No, it's actually not. It's actually pretty widely accepted. We've just watered it down to positive thinking, to positive speech, to sharing our dreams, you know, especially with our kids, man. We're really guarded. You know, little Johnny says, I want to be an astronaut one day. And Uncle Jim says, you'll never be an astronaut. And Mom and Dad say, be quiet. Sweetheart, you can be anything you want to be. Because we understand this. But as Christians, we've so diluted it down to just, you know, not squashing out dreams and creativity that we don't recognize the power, the absolute power that we've been given in this. The absolute power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we having the same spirit of faith, so this is what the spirit of faith looks like, according to what is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore we speak. I don't have to see it. All I have to know is that God said it, and God's big enough to pull it off, even if it doesn't look like it can exist. All I have to do is realize, yeah, but he said it, and he promised he could do it, so that's all I need. And I can begin to call those things that don't exist, can never exist, but I can begin to speak to them, yeah, one day. You know what's going to happen? One day we're going to enjoy this. One day God's going to be faithful. One day we will be in that situation, even though it looks like it's just not possible. This is what the Bible tells us to do. Two key times. When things look dead, speak life. When things look impossible, non-existent, then begin to call them as though, talk about them. Begin to quote God's word as though they were already your reality. That's why the Bible says put a watch in front of your mouth, because it's so easy to distort this. But the Bible says, don't you do it, don't you do it. Okay, let's go on, Romans chapter 4. In verse 18 and 19, he says, this is Abraham now, who contrary to hope, okay? So once he chose to stay with God's word, he chose to believe it, and then he chose to stay with God's word, he noticed God speaks life to things that are dead, and he calls things that are not as though they were. I believe I'm going to start doing that. And Abraham began to get his words lined up, and notice what happened when he did that. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. That's mean he's looking at the natural, like what's naturally possible, and in the natural, there's just no hope. But he turned and he looked at what God put out in front of him, but God says, yeah, but you can do this. He says, in the spiritual hope, it says he chose to believe in that, so that, notice, he became the father of many nations, or in other words, he did that and he kept doing it until what God promised actually happened. But he was hoping, or he was believing, notice it goes on, according to what was spoken, just like the Bible said, so shall your descendants be. And it didn't stop there. Look at verse 19. And not being weak in faith, and we've learned some things about that. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by the word. So when he says he wasn't weak in faith, that means he wasn't weak in the word. He kept putting it in his heart, 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 putting it in his heart. Yeah, he didn't get to watch TV when he wanted sometimes. And yeah, he didn't get to listen to the radio when he wanted sometimes. And he just wanted to go have some fun and do stuff. But he was in the middle of something, so he kept putting it in his heart, 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 putting it in his heart. And so because of that, he got to these circumstances that just looked so tough, and he didn't get weak in faith, and he did not consider his own body. That Greek phrase means he didn't focus on or build any of his opinions or his what the results he came to based on what he could see. And it was pretty bad. It goes on and says his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. So when God spoke to him at 75, 25 years earlier, and said, I've already made you the father of many nations. And Abraham said, okay, I'll believe that. Here we are 25 years later. He's still not the father of many nations. And now he's 100. And now, even if he at one point could produce kids, at 100 years old, come on. 75, we're already floating. 100? Nah, it's not going to happen. Notice this, he adds to it, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, Sarah's womb never did open up. She's been barren all of their marriage. Never did open up. But notice verse 20, but he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. But here's the kicker, but was strengthened in faith. In other words, the worse it looked, the stronger he got. How is that even possible? How is it possible to get more encouraged and more confident and more excited? Because I'm telling you, it's got to be getting close. It's got to be getting close. It's been 25 years, man. This thing's going to happen any day now. How do you get more confident and more excited when the circumstances look worse and worse and worse? They were bad to begin with. Now they just look crazy impossible. But Abraham kept staying with the word. He kept speaking the word. He kept going back. Truth is truth, no matter what I'm experiencing. God said, God said, God said, and that's what he did. So he said he became fully, it says, but he was strengthened in faith. Notice this, giving glory to God. Not after he received the promise. He was giving glory to God when the situation was deteriorating. He was standing in his room. And he was singing, this is how I fight my battles. He was standing in his room and thanking the Lord that his word is true. Thanking God that he said, he's opening his Bible. Now I'm pulling the metaphor forward. But he's opening his Bible and said, right there, you promised me. And he's reading it back to the Lord. I remember when you spoke it to me 25 years ago. You said this is coming to pass. And I just want to thank you today. I want to praise you and bless you because this is happening in my life. You're setting the stage. Any minute now, this is going to click. And it's going to be just the way you promised. He's giving glory to God in the middle of crazy circumstance. Notice, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And listen, we can talk about choosing to reign. We can get all excited about free will and about God has blessings and we want to do this. But all of a sudden, you pull back the curtain and you get down into the nitty-gritty. This is how it works. It's not hard. It's not even complex. But it will take some decision. It will take some commitment that is unwilling to turn back. I'll give you a quick story and I'm going to end right here. 32 years ago now, Debbie and I were married. And I was young, we were just getting into ministry, I wasn't quite full of going to Bible college yet. And I was working a pretty good job that I had stepped away from to step onto an internship of a church, but I did it based on a promise. God said to me, God said to all of us, but I grabbed it in the book of Mark, he said, anybody who walks away from mother and father, sister, brother, houses, lands, opportunities, etc., for my name's sake in the gospel, I'll make sure to get it back to you 100-fold. Houses. And lands, and mothers, and fathers, relatives, circles, and tight, community. And he said, I'll give that back to you if you follow me. We stepped out on a promise believing that. We're in Southern California. I'll fast forward 15 years later. We're still in ministry. There is no way in God's green earth we're ever going to get a house in the natural. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. We've been living in parsonages for 15 years, and I left the church, and we moved to a position at the college, and my pay decreased a little bit, although I knew it's where God wanted me to. We couldn't even afford to rent a house. And I was just really honest with the president of the college and say, man, I'd love to work here, and I can see, where I could be a fit, at least in an interim season here, but financially, we just can't do it. And he scrambled and worked some things out, and we ended up being able to move into what used to be one of the college's frat houses. It looked exactly like a frat house on the inside. So I remember Valentine's night that Debbie and I were in there, and I mean, I'm in the corner, and I'm painting and working because tears are streaming down my face. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed in front of my wife that I promised if you'd go with me, I'll do everything I can to take care of you. And here I am, it seems like every time we take a step, ministry's going up, but our finances and our material things are going down. And I turned around and Debbie looked at me and said, don't forget what the Bible says. If we follow the Lord, he's faithful. Hundredfold he's going to give back to us. For 3 years we lived in that frat house. And when we left it, it was a pretty nice house. And we fixed it up and it was really nice. And the president was really appreciative of it. And we came to South Carolina thinking, well, if we can just get into a rental house. I'll condense the long story short. We got to South Carolina, all of a sudden things started unfolding, and I was shocked. I think we can buy a house. What? I think we can get a house. And it's been 15 years since we've been living in that house, and I'm telling you, it's more often than not that I wake up in the morning. I'm usually the first one up with a cup of coffee. I'm walking around the morning room, and lots of times, tears are streaming down my face, and I said, God, you did that. We could have never got this, but we kept saying it over and over and over. I have no idea how this is going to happen, but God, you promised us if we would follow you and walk away from everything else that you'd give it all back to us. You said that, and I'm not here for the stuff, but you promise. A promise is a promise, and here we are loving our life in South Carolina. We love our home, and God's blessing us, and we've got a number of other things we're believing God for that we've been carrying with us too. But I'm telling you, 25 years later, you know, is not a long time in the grand scheme of things to watch God do something absolutely miraculous. He never shortchanges. He always gives more than you thought. And God's faithful to his word. Choosing to reign means choosing to believe God's word with all your heart. Choosing to speak God's word, no matter what it looks like, you stay with what God said and to keep doing it until you get results, because God promised you will always get the results that he said if you don't give up and quit. You've been blessed by the word this morning? Stand up. Let me pray for you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, check us out on the web at lakeshorecf.com.